morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez, and joining me again this week is Master Gardener Bill Hooten. Welcome back.
Good morning, Norma.
Well, Bill, I know that a lot of the questions that you get almost year-round on the Master Gardener Hotline have a lot to do with grass. How much do I water? When do I water? When do I fertilize it? And so the good thing is we have a special guest, a turf grass specialist from Texas AgriLife Extension Service in Dallas, Jim McAfee. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, Norma, welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, Bill, what are some of the big questions that you guys get on the hotline?
We get a lot of calls about turf, weeds, but primarily what grows best in our area. And I think that's probably the primary question. We're fairly limited, and I'd like to ask Jim what the best way is to approach the choices that we do have.
Well, you know, when you look at El Paso, Bermuda grass is one of your primary grass, and it's a good one for El Paso. I like zoysia grass. I don't think there's much zoysia now in the El Paso area, but that may be because of ability to find it, but it's a good grass. A lot of people think it is Bermuda grass. It looks like it, but the big key is it has good shade tolerance, you know, a lot better than Bermuda grass, not as good as San Augustine. Now, San Augustine is grown here in El Paso, and you do see lawns, but they do get winter killed. You do have a high pH, which creates some iron corrosive problems.
Yes.
So I just think zoysia would be a better choice.
Is it as weedy as Bermuda? Because I know that's one thing people don't like about Bermuda, that it just gets a little out of control for them. So
no,
would zoysia be the same way?
No, Norma, that's a good question. It's a lot better. It's a lot thicker than Bermuda, and you don't see near the weeds. I'm not going to say you don't get weeds, because, you know, you're
going to
get
weeds. Nobody never gets weeds,
yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. But it's kind of like San Augustine in that it's a real thick grass, and so you just don't see as many weeds in it. So that's a good thing for it. But it's like Bermuda. It goes dormant, of course, so does St. Augustine. It greens up in the spring, goes dormant in the fall. It has real good wear tolerance. You know, it's used a lot now on golf courses in the state of Texas, on their fairways and roughs and tee boxes. So it's a good grass.
It's pretty heat tolerant as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll tolerate the heat without any problem. You know, that's something I get people talking about, these grasses and the heat tolerance. Any of the warm season, Bermuda, St. Augustine, zoysia, centipede, buffalo, they'll tolerate the heat without any problem.
Well, you brought up St. Augustine, and that's, I think, a good shade grass, and that's not one that you see too often. I have seen quite a few St. Augustine lawns out in the Upper Valley, I guess, where there's some larger trees and more areas to shade. Tell us a little bit more about St. Augustine grass and how that differs from your typical Bermuda or zoysia lawn.
The St. Augustine grass is, you know, again, is forte is that it is the best shade grass. And so that's where we see it grown a lot. Now, when you get into areas where it's really adapted, Houston, Corpus, Galveston, it's in everywhere. It's the full sun, it's the shade, it's everywhere. But when you get away from their adaptation, you tend to see it in the shady lawns. It's a wider bladed grass than Bermuda grass. You mow it taller. It's, you know, I love it. It's got fewer weed problems. It's softer. It's just a good grass. The big knock on St. Augustine is water. A lot of people claim it wastes water. And the way I say it is, it's not the grass wasting water. It's the fools that are watering the grass that waste the water. It really doesn't use much more than what Bermuda does, if done right.
You may be talking about me personally. My backyard is approximately 70% St. Augustine. And it actually, with the proper water, it has taken over the rest of the backyard. So it does do well here in El Paso. I like it a lot, too. There is some winter kill back. But otherwise, I think it fights the weeds a little bit better, too.
No question about it, yeah. I've got St. Augustine in my backyard in Dallas, and I did lose some this last year, too, to winter kill. But it's also taken over some Bermuda grass areas. So it's a grass that, because of its the width of the blade, and when you mow it up high, it shades everything else out. It'll take over most other grasses, if maintained properly.
Well, going back to talking about Bermuda, there's not one kind of Bermuda grass. We see a lot of times, you know, the Bermuda that's very invasive that grows in your lawn, even though you didn't put it there in the first place. It just sort of reseeds everywhere. But there are different hybrids of Bermuda as well. And I know there are quite a few that are popular here. What are some of the ones that you see that are the most popular types?
Well, I think, and really what it comes down to is what does the sod grower who grows the grass have? Generally, Tifway 419 is going to be one of the more popular hybrids sold for home lawn use. It's also the main grass for golf course fairways, sports fields. So it's a real good hybrid Bermuda grass. And that's probably the main one. Princess 77, that's one you can actually buy sod or seed. Most of your hybrids don't produce viable seed, but Princess 77 is a seeded. Very dark green, nice texture. But anyway, those are probably two of the better ones that I see. Personally, to be honest, I'm not a fan of hybrid Bermuda grass for home lawns. They're a little more maintenance. You need to mow them lower more often for them to really look nice. Most homeowners aren't going to do that.
So why would you want to create a hybrid Bermuda in the first place then?
Most of the hybrid Bermuda grasses were really developed for, again, intense use areas like golf courses, sports fields, those type areas, not for home lawns.
Well, we've talked about this in the past about some cooler season grasses. People who actually do maintain their lawns may want to kind of consider doing that in the winter. I don't see the purpose of it. You know, I think once you're done with the summer, you just leave it alone, let it go dormant, worry about it in the spring. So let's talk a little bit about some cooler season grasses that you might see around this region.
Well, you know, you do see tall fescue in El Paso, and that is a cool season grass. Cool season would be tall fescue, ryegrass, bluegrass. Those are going to be your cool season grasses. Tall fescue is grown here. It does take more water, okay, being a cool season grass. Now, some people will overseed in the wintertime with ryegrass for the winter color. I'm going to ride in there with you, Norma. I don't like, my friends are in the business don't like me say this, but I don't like seeing all the water used to grow in that ryegrass seed in the fall, to water it during the wintertime. I'd just rather save that water for my Bermuda grass the next year.
Well, you know, you almost take a rest.
Right.
It goes dormant. You just take a rest. You don't mow it from November, December, January, February, and then March, and you start back again.
And to me, if you've got a nice, clean, dormant Bermuda or San Augustine or Zoysia, and you've got a nice landscape around it, it looks nice. Now, if you got a Bermuda that's full of winter weeds, it doesn't look nice.
It's still going to be exactly. Green, but green in the wrong way.
And brown, yeah. Exactly. So it's how you maintain it, how it looks.
Well, let's address weeds a little bit. What's the best way to prevent weeds in general?
In general, it really is the pre-emergent herbicides. Early September here in El Paso, because a lot of those seed are going to continue to germinate through October, November, so you'll still get a lot of your winter weeds. Most of your winter weeds are annuals. And then put the pre-emergent down again next, probably late February, mid-March, and that'll get your summer annuals. Dandelion is a perennial, so you will have to spray a post-emergent for the dandelions. Henbit, chickweed, and then poannual, which is an annual bluegrass. Those are probably the most common weeds you see, not only in home lawns, but sports fields, golf courses.
How about spurge? Spurge has been a real big issue. Would the pre-emergent address that?
Pre-emergent, well, there is a product called, for the homeowner, Portrait Broadleaf Weed Preventer. Isoxaben is the active ingredient. It is specifically for annual broadleaf weeds, and it does control some of the spurges. There's a lot of different spurges. Sure. Theoretically, it should control the spurges.
Well, let's talk about what some of these weeds look like, because I know a lot of people who are listening, they don't know the names of the weeds themselves. They just know what they look like. And spurge, we've talked about this on the past. It's sort of a very low-growing, spreading weed that sometimes you don't even see because it blends in so well with what it's growing up against. And it's got these tiny, tiny little leaves. And when you try to pull it out, it's very sticky. And it's got
milky.
Sticky sap.
A lot of people call it milkweed, just as a generic term. Spurge is a more correct description.
Yeah, because there is a true milkweed.
And there is a different separate
There is a true milkweed, and it's not milkweed.
And it's not. So it's a lot of it is just in terminology. But
Let me give you something that might help them, and I'm not trying to promote myself here, but I have a website. There's not much on it, but one thing I do have, I've got about 90 pictures of weeds.
Perfect.
And the website is Jim McAfee, and that's all one word, JIMMCAFEE.TAMU.EDU. And when it comes open, you'll just see weeds and then hit weed gallery and spurge. Several of the spurges are on there. I've got them all on there. I can't describe things. Whatever side of the brain is that artistic side, I didn't get.
It's very difficult.
It's hard for me to describe what a weed looks like. Yeah. When homeowners try to describe to me over the phone what weed they have, I'm just sitting there shaking my head. And I tell them.
I'll go to your website and look it up.
Or, you know, everybody nowadays has a digital camera. take a good picture, download it, and send it to me, and I'll tell you what it is.
And we, just to remind everybody that we do offer, through our hotline, we do offer the ability to either call in to describe the weed and or pictures and or samples. They can bring samples to us at the El Paso Garden Center. And if we don't know the answer, we'll take it down to our local extension office and get some help.
Good. Well, let's talk a little bit about fertilizers now. That's another one of the big questions that the Master Gardener Hotline gets.
Okay. And actually, best time of the year to fertilize. In the fall. And you want to put down usually I tell homeowners a complete or balanced fertilizer. Now, if you know you have plenty of phosphorus and potassium in your soil, you can just use straight nitrogen. But in the fall, when I'm talking about October, at that time of the year, the number one priority for food produced by that plant is for stored carbohydrates to help it come out the next spring. In the spring and the summer, 90% of the food produced goes for leaf growth. So you get more bang for your buck with that fall application than any other time of the year.
So what would you call a balanced fertilizer? There's so many on the market.
Well, that just means balanced means it has nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, or complete would be a better term. And a 3-1-2 ratio, 4-1-2 ratio, like a 15-5-10 or a 16-4-8, 21-7-14, something like that.
And the numbers are all there on the bag.
They're all on the bag. Mm-hmm. They have to, by law, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium has to be on the bag.
But you did address the fact that if there's already plenty of phosphorus and potassium, that pure nitrogen is okay.
Yes.
And I do recommend ammonium sulfate to people. Locally, it's less expensive.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is, Bill, you're not going to find urea in most garden stores.
No.
All you're going to find is ammonium sulfate.
Right.
So, yeah, for these alkaline soils, ammonium sulfate works very good.
I know it is available at between $8 and $10 a 40- or 50-pound bag, so it is the most cost effective that I found locally, and there is a chemical store in New Mexico that we recommend sometimes, and it's fairly inexpensive.
Well, there is one place here in El Paso, if you're thinking of maybe changing out your turf or adding turf, that isn't really in El Paso, it's in Santa Teresa, but they are the only place really that you can go to get turf here in El Paso, in the El Paso region, but they only carry a very limited amount. So I would encourage our listeners, if they are interested in perhaps any of the other types of grasses that we talked about, the zoysia, the St. Augustine, the other different kinds of Bermudas, to give them a call, Gardener Turf up in Santa Teresa, and hopefully they'll be able to expand the variety that they offer here in El Paso, because there are different needs for different types of turf.
One thing that's important, they do not sell directly to the public, so you must go through one of the greenhouses or big box stores to buy from them, but they will tell you what they have. They just won't sell it directly to you.
And if you have a landscaper also, I would assume they sell
directly
to
landscapers. Any of the landscapers can buy wholesale also. That's correct.
Well, Jim McAfee, it's been a pleasure having you here on Good Turf.
No, I've enjoyed it. I enjoy doing this.
Well, Jim McAfee is an extension turfgrass specialist with the Texas AgriLife Extension Service, coming to us from Dallas. And thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.